Boker Tov, and welcome to another in our series of Shirim on Daf Yomi. We are now beginning the third chapter of Masechet Megillah. And as I mentioned in yesterday's Shir, the third chapter is in the Mishnayot and in the Yerushalmi, the fourth chapter. We're following the order of the Bavli, which the first Mishnah is the final statement about Megillah at all, and the rest of the Masechet deals with laws of Kedusha Beit HaKnesset and of Kriyat HaTorah. And we will immediately dive into Hilchot Kriyat HaTorah in today's shiur. For those who have the opportunity, please take a note of the Rambam's very famous comment in his Perash Mishnayot in Masechet Gittin Perakei about the position of the Kohen reading first, having the first Aliyah. I'll mention it when you get to the particular topic. The Mishnah says, HaKoreta Megillah Omed v'yoshev, meaning that the Megillah may be read standing or seated. Kra echad kro ashnayim yatsu. And whether one person reads the Megillah or two people read it together, you're yotze, and the people listening are yotze. We'll see why. Makom shenagu levarech yivarech, v'shelo levarech lo yivarech. There is a custom to say a bracha about the Megillah, and there are places where that custom is enforced, there are places where the custom is not enforced, and each place and each custom is valid. The Gemara will explain that this is referring to the bracha said after the Megillah. The one before the Megillah is an obligation, as we will see forthwith. Now, the Mishnah immediately continues by describing the laws of Kriyat HaTorah. V'shanim ha-chamishim ha-shabbat mincha, so Monday, Thursday, and Shabbat in the afternoon, korin shlosha, there are three people who read the Torah, ein pochtin mehen ve'ein pocht mosifin olein. You may not add, take away, but you may also not add. There is no haftarah. The first person and the last person who reads, meaning the first person says an opening bracha and the last person says a closing bracha. This is, of course, not our practice, and the Gemara will immediately comment upon our practice and the reason for it, which is that every person says an opening and closing bracha. Now, the next Mishnah, which is bound together here in our text, goes to different special days. There are four aliyot. And again, you can't add, you can't take away. And again, the one who begins and the one who ends says the opening and closing bracha as per the halacha in the times of the Mishnah. Now they add something in which leads to a little consternation. Any day that there is a Korban Musaf and is not itself a Yontif, so that's Rosh Chodesh Chol HaMoed. So there's nothing else being added in, but we will see whether or not there may be an allusion to another day added in. You have four aliyot. B'Yom Tov Chamisha, B'Yom Kippurim Shisha, V'Shabbat Shiva. And now it rounds out the rest of the days of the calendar. A regular Yontif has five, Yom Kippur has six, that's Yom Kippur in the morning, and Shabbat has seven. Ein Pochtin Men, you may have no less, Avam Mosifin Alein, you're allowed to have more. Maftirim ben Avi, there is a haftar on those days, and again, a bracha said by the first and the last person reading. Now, the immediate comment in the Gemara is on the opening line about reading the Megillah standing or sitting. Tana Masha ain't kein b'Torah. You're not allowed to read the Torah sitting down. The Megillah could be read standing or sitting, the Torah must be read standing up. In Hanimili, how do we know that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, send everyone back to their tents and you stand here with me. The idea is that you, the Kabbalah Satorah, happened while Moshe was standing, and therefore Kriyat HaTorah, which is in a sense a reenactment of Kabbalah Satorah, must be done standing. If it weren't for the fact the text said it, we would not have the nerve to say such a thing. It's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, you and I will stand together, meaning I'm going to stand also. HaKadosh Baruch Hu here is the Baal Kriya, as it were. How do I know that the rabbi should not sit on a bed and his students sit on the floor, meaning he should not sit above them? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, you are with me, which means the rabbi and the students should be on the same level, either sitting up high or sitting on the floor. Now, Tana Rabbanan, parenthetically, Mimot Moshe ad Rabban Gamliel lo ayu l'medin Torah el miumad. From Matan Torah all the way until Rabban Gamliel, Torah was always studied standing up. In Shemir Ban Gamliel, Yarad Choli Leolam. At that point, people became weaker. People started studying Torah while seated. And that's why the Mishnah at the end of Sota, which lists all sorts of different Tanaim, and when they died, which characteristic disappeared, because they were the last ones to have that characteristic. When Megamliel died, that was the end of Kovod HaTorah. And those people started studying, sitting down. And now we find a contradiction. Katuvachan Omer Va'eshev Bahar. That Moshe says in his description of Matan Torah in Sefer Devarim, he says, and I sat on the mountain. At least that's the one way to read it. Katuvachan Omer Va'nachi Amadti Bahar. And in the other text it says that Moshe says, I stood on the mountain. So how do we solve it? Amarav Omed V'Lomed Yoshev V'Shoneh. So Rav says he did both. He stood to hear the words, and he sat down to review them. It wasn't neither standing nor sitting. He was bowing the whole time. So it was sort of standing, sort of sitting, and to demonstrate that, he described it both ways. Rabbi Yochanan says, Yeshiva does not mean sitting. Va'eshevahar means I remained on the mountain. Many, many examples in Tanakh, where the verb yod shin bet means to reside, to stay somewhere. Rav Amar, rakot miumad v'kashot miyushav. Rav, like Rav, reconciles them by saying some of the learning was standing and some of it was sitting. And what was sitting was the more difficult learning. And so what was standing was the easier information, which, by the way, seems to contradict what we said earlier, that, say, from the times of Moshe, from Gamliel, Torah was always learned standing up. Even Moshe Rabbeinu himself sat during the more difficult sessions. Good. So the Mishnah said that if two people read the Megillah together, they yotze. Tana Mashem Kin Batorah, just like we saw in the beginning about sitting, the same thing is also holds true, that the Torah does not follow the role of the model of Megillah. The Torah has to have only one person reading. We'll see why. Tana Rabbanan, the Torah chad korei v'chad metargein. When it comes to Kriyat HaTorah, one person reads and another person does the targum. V'achlo yachad korei v'shnai metargumin. You can't have two people doing the targum, the nearly simultaneous translation to Aramaic. Navi yachad korei v'shnai metargumin. But when it comes to Navi, the Haftarah, you can have two people together translating. V'achlo yishnai korei v'shnai metargumin. But not two people reading. But when it comes to Hallel and Megillah, even if you have 10 people reading, now the Metargamin here is a little bit difficult about what are Metargamin doing in Hallel or Megillah. So my time came on the Chaviva Havidatayu Rishami. This is something we had earlier, Masachet Rosh Hashanah with Shofarot. Since people love Hallel and they love Megillah, they'll pay attention, they'll be able to discern one single voice out of the cacophony and or out of the harmony, if you will. And therefore, they will be able to yotze. Torah, on the other hand, is sometimes something we hear all the time. People are not as excited about it, and therefore, they won't be able to accomplish that. Good. The Mishnah said, Makom shenagula varech, varech, etc., and I pointed out that that's only referring to the final bracha. Rabbi Loshanu al-Achareha. So, Rabbi makes this point, that's only the bracha afterwards, which is dependent upon minhag. Aval faneha mitzvah levarech. But there's an absolute obligation to make a bracha before reading the Megillah. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mashmuel, famous dictum of Shmuel, kol mitzvot kulan varech aleinu v'ad asiyatan. Shmuel said that for all the mitzvot, you have to make the bracha over to their performance. What does over mean? My mashmuel dahi over leishna da'akdumehu. So we understand that over means immediately before doing them. You have to make a bracha immediately before doing the mitzvah. How do I know that over means in front of or immediately before? Chayitzak amar krav yotzach imatz derech agar v'yavor takushi. This is when Achimatz, who was the son of Eviatar Kohen, Achimatz ben Sadoka Kohen, wanted to go and inform David that Avshalom had been killed, and tell David in Machanaim that Avshalom had been killed, and Yoav wouldn't let him go, and he sent the Cushi ahead, and finally Achimatz, he let Achimatz go, and Achimatz ran, and he passed the Cushi. Right? Vayvorta Cushi. So he went in front of him. This is when Yaakov walked in front of all the gifts. Their king walked in front of them, and that's God who is at their head. So Yavor, Lavor, doesn't mean just to pass, but to cross in front of. So that's why in the case of mitzvot, over la'asiyatan, that's what it means. Now, l'fanem anvarch, what's the bracha you say before Megillah? Sheshem mikatrazia, Ikal lekame de Rav Ashi. Came before Rashi. Uvarik and he made the bracha mem nun chet, which means Megillah Nisim Chiyanu. In other words, al mikra Megillah, shasa Nisim and shachiyanu. Now that's the bracha beforehand. It's the three brachot beforehand. Lacharei amayim uvarich. What's the bracha afterwards? So bracha tashon lohinu melech olam ha'el haravit rivenu. Ha'el is a question of nusach. Haravit rivenu, he who fights our fight. Hadanit dinenu, he judges our judgment. Alkemin imatenu, he avenges our vengeance. Nifalanu tzarenu, and he takes he exacts punishment from our enemies. Shalim gulacholagin avshenu, and he gives the comeuppance to the enemies of our to our enemies. Baruch Hashem, the father of called Tzareim. Blessed is God who exacts punishment for Am Yisrael from all of their enemies. Rava Amar Ha'el Moshiach. Rava said the end of the bracha should be Ha'el Moshiach, the saving God. So Rav Papa, and this is an approach to Rav Papa takes several times in Masachet Brachot, when you have several versions of the Chatima. An example is the bracha said after going to the bathroom. One version is Rofei Chavasar, the other one is Mafli Lasod. Rav Papa says we'll say them both. Same thing here. Hilkach Nemrinu L'Tavayu. What's the end of the bracha? And this is indeed the end of the bracha. That you will all be saying this Saturday night and Sunday, except those of you in walled cities will be saying it Sunday night and Monday morning. Baruch Atah Hashem, Nifrad Yisrael, Mikol Tzareim, Olei Amo Yisrael, Mikol Tzareim, Ha'el HaMoshiach, both Chatimot. Good. Now, V'Shanim HaChamishi B'Shabbat Mincha Korin Shlosha. Good. So the minimal amount of Aliyot that we ever have, which is Monday, Thursday, and Shabbat Mincha, is three. Hani Shlosha Keneged Mi. Who do these three correspond to? Amar Lasi Keneged Torah Nevi'im Uktuvim. He says the three parts of the Bible. Amar Keneged Kohanim Levim Yisrael, the three parts of Am Yisrael. So if that's the case, that the numbers here are representative, so Hani Kohanim Avshimi Ein Poftim Me'asav Psukim Ve'Akneset. Avshimi said that you can never read less than 10 psukim. There's one exception to that, of course, the Kriya on Purim. But generally, we don't read less than 10 psukim. Vayadaber Olam Min Aminyan and Vayadaber Adonai Moshe Lemor counts as a pasuk. Hani Asar Keneged Mi. What do these 10 correspond to? So Amar Bishuvan Levi Keneged Asarah Batlanim Shevita Knesset. He said it corresponds to the 10 people who stay in the Beit Knesset and study all day, etc. That we talked about in the first parak. Rav Yosef Amar Keneged Asar Tadibrot Shem Rulam Moshe B'Sinai. Asar Tadibrot. Rav Levi Amar Keneged Asarah Hilulin Shamar David B'Sefer Tehilim. 10 Hallels that David said. And Rabbi Yochanan says it corresponds to the 10 utterances with which the world is created. Now wait, time out. Hey Nino, Vayomer de Breshit. Every time it says Vayomer in the first chapter of Breshit, there's only 9 of them. The answer is Breshit Nami Ma'amaru. The creation itself is also Ma'amar. The Pasuk in Tehilim Lamed Gimel says, with the word of God, the heavens are created, and therefore, the Bereshit Bara Elohim, which, truth to tell, based on proper grammar, actually gives us an insight into what has already happened, that we're not privy to. Bara Elohim means God had already created, and that was created, of course, with the word of God, and that's the 10th, or really the first utterance. Good. Amar Rava. So Rava now says, let's look at the math. You've got a minimum of 3 Aliyot, you've got a minimum of 10 Pesukim. Which means one of the aliyot, if you do everything on the minimum, one of the aliyot is going to be larger than the other two. It'll be 3-3-4, 3-4-3, or 4-3-3. So Rava says, any way you do it, you can justify. Rishon shekar arba meshubach, sheni shekar arba meshubach, shlishi shekar arba meshubach. Whether the first, second, or third reads 4, we can find praiseworthiness to that. Rishon shekar arba meshubach, how do I know that the first one reading 4 is a good idea? It says that when they brought the Shkalim and Rosh Chodesh Nisan to the Beit HaMikdash, there were 3 boxes there. The first one said Aleph, then Bet, then Gimel. To know which one is filled up first and which one is taken from first, in order to bring the first korban from that money. Because it's ideal to bring it from the first one. So you see, the first one is great, and therefore the first one should get the 4 psukim. And Sayishikar Arba Meshuvach, the middle one who reads 4, that's nice. Titania, El Mulpre Menorah Ya'iru. The Torah describes the menorah and says that the lights should all face Pnei HaMenorah. So Machloket, whether that means to all face forward or all face towards the middle lamp. So this version reads towards the middle lamp. Mechim Tzadeh Pnei Mkwapei Ne'maravi, they should all point towards the middle lamp. Good, so the middle is important. Here you see, The one in the middle is ideal. By the way, the way Chazal described the ideal way of sitting at a meal or of walking is that the Gadol stands in the middle, the next one in greatness stands to his right or reclined or seated to his right, and the next one is to his left, but the great one is in the middle. If the last one reads four, if you go 3-3-4, that's also good. Mishum malin b'kodesh for no more reading, because of a basic Meta Mikdash principle that we always go up in holiness. 3-3-4, we move up. Papa equal ave chnishta da ave govar. So a papa came to the Beit Knesset in Begovar, and Abe Govar, v'karav yishon arba. And the first guy read four, v'shav chereb papa. They didn't have little markings in their sidurim, which they also didn't have, that said, Kohen Lady Yisrael reads up till here. The Baal Kriya stopped where he stopped. Rav Papa was happy that this fellow had read four psukim in the first Aliyah. He thought that was good. Which substantiates just that four is also a valid way to do it. Now, Ein Pachtin V'hen V'hen Mosifin. Right? Tana, HaPotech M'Varech L'Fanei HaChotem V'Varech L'Achareah. So we said that the first person says a bracha before, and the last one says a bracha afterwards. V'Ina D'Chulim V'Varech L'Fanei L'Achareah. So why do we now, in our day, have everyone who gets an aliyah says the bracha before and afterwards? Because of people coming in late, and they're going to hear the Torah without a bracha if they don't hear each aliyah. And the assumption is nobody comes in or leaves in the middle of an aliyah. But if somebody comes in after the first aliyah and they hear the Torah read without a bracha, they'll think you don't make a bracha on the Torah. If somebody leaves early and they don't hear the bracha afterwards, they'll think there is no bracha afterwards. Therefore, before and after each aliyah, we make a bracha. That point is going to become important in a later analysis that we're going to have about how to properly read on a fast day. Good. So now the Mishnah said that on Rosh Chodesh you read four. Now, that's going to bring us into a very interesting and knotty problem, which we're all familiar with from practical halacha. Take a look at the page at verses 10, 11, and 12, which are really 8 verses and 2 verses and 5 verses, a total of 15 verses, which are consecutive, in Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Chafchet, from the beginning, and that is the reading that we have on Rosh Chodesh. Now, we'll look at the problem that reading is to be divided, as we just learned, into four parts. The first section is 8 psukim, then 2, then 5. So we'll see why reading it presents a challenge that we have to overcome. Vamine ula bar rav mirava. So Rav was asked, Parshavash Chodesh Ketzer Korin Ota, how do you read it? Tzav Menei Soma Ata Lehem, and Korin Lachmin, Lachmin, Avin Tmanya Psuki, the first section is 8 Psukim. Hechi Navid, what do you do with those 8 Psukim? Nikri Trey, Tlata, Tlata Psukim, do you have the first two guys each read 3 Psukim? What happens then? You're left with 2 Psukim at the end of the Parsha. Pashalu Trey, Vein Mishayim Parsha Pacham Mishlosh Psukim. We have a principle that you don't end a reading when there's less than 3 psukim to go in the parsha, because it's going to give the impression to whoever heard you end at that point that, aha, you can read less than 3 psukim. So you can't do that. So we can't read 3 and 3, and then go from there. Nikre arba arba, so then if you want to say, good, read 4 and then 4, and after 2 aliyot you will have finished the first parsha. So pashal l'shiva, then you have 7 more psukim. V'yom ha-shabbat tavi entrei, the next section of Shabbat is 2. The next section of Rosh Chodesh, Avin Chamish, that's 5. So, Echi Navid, how are you going to divide those 7 into 2 aliyot? Nikri Trei Mehav Echad Mehanach, do you want to read 2 of Shabbat and 1 of Rosh Chodesh? You're not allowed to do that for the inversion of the same reason we just said. In Matchin Parsha, Pachot Mishlosha Psukim. You're not allowed to start a Parsha and go less than 3 Psukim in. Because somebody's going to come in and hear the next guy picking up on the second or third Pasuk of the Parsha and think, ah, they read less than 3 Psukim. So, likri trei mihal, tlata mihach. So, your next solution is read 2 from Shabbat and then 3 from the next one. So, pashul trei. Then you've only got 2 left at the end of the Rosh Chodesh section. So, Rava said, zulo shamati. I don't know a solution to this. Kayotze vashamati, but I did deal with something we saw at the end of Masechet Tanit just recently, which is very similar. Did none. In the Mishnah, the last parak of Masechet Tanit says, "Bayom Rishon." This is the Mamadot. Bereshit, Vayihi, Arkiya, V'Tani Allah. What do we say about the readings in which they read the creation? On the first day, you read Bereshit and Vayihi, Arkiya, and you have 3 aliyot. Bereshit v'Shnayim, Arkiya v'Echad. Now, the opening part of the Torah is 5 psukim, and it says you have 2 guys read it. Avinu ba'Bishlamai, Arkiya v'Echad. I understand you Arkiya the second day. That's 3 psukim. Tata psukim. That's 1 aliyah. How can you be Breshit with two guys? Chamisha psuki havu. Tanya koreva toralo. If chot mishlosha psukim, the minimum you can read at any reading is three psukim. How do you have two fellows reading five psukim? V'it maralai, and we have the following discussion. Rav amar doleg, ushmol amar posek. Rav says you overlap, which means you read 1, 2, 3, 3, 4, 5. And Shmuel says posek, which means 1, 2, the first half of 3, and then the second half of 3, 4, 5. Now, Rav amar doleg, my tamal amar posek, why doesn't Rav accept splitting the pasuk in half? Because Rav holds that any pasuk that wasn't split by Moshe, we don't split. Now, that may mean that there is a problem to stop in the middle of a pasuk, and it may simply mean that reading a half pasuk, meaning not a pasuk that was defined that way by Moshe Rabbeinu, is not called a pasuk. So you're not reading three pasukim; you're reading two and a half. Shmuel amar paskin amay. Shmuel says not a problem, meaning that as a last resort, we can divide the pasuk in half. Ay, v'amar Chananya kra. Chananya was a Tanakh teacher. Said Sargodol hayaliyetzo v'chanina gadol. I had tremendous problems with the Chanina. The only time he allowed me to stop in the middle of a pasuk was teaching little kids. Because I'm learning, I'm teaching them. So how could Shmuel say that when reading the Torah here, you do half a pasuk? The answer is that's exactly it. Hatam time am I? Why did Rav Chanina allow him to break there? There's no other way to teach kids but to stop in the middle and explain it to them. Here also, with Kriyat HaTorah, we don't have any other option. We break in the middle. In other words, Shmuel says that you're right, breaking a pasuk in the middle is far from ideal, but when there are no other options to complete the task at hand, that's acceptable. Shmuel amar posek, my time malo amar doleg, so why didn't Shmuel accept the overlap idea? Gzera mishum anechatsim mishum ayotzin, it's again a gzera, just the same way that we instituted the bracha before and after each aliyah because of people coming in and out. The same thing here. If somebody hears them starting at pasuk gimel, they'll think, oh, the previous aliyah, they only read two pasukim. So meitavei parsha shel shisha pasukim korein otah b'shnayim shel chamisha pasukim b'yachid. If you have a parsha of six pasukim, that can be two guys. If you have a parsha of five pasukim, that's only one guy. Korei shon shlosha. Let's say the first guy read three and you got two pasukim left. Hashani, Karishnaim, Parsha Zuva, Echad, and Parsha Acher. It's according to one opinion. He reads two, and then another one from the next Parsha. Yeshomim Shlosha. Some people say he has to read two, and then another three. Right? The Vishayim Athun Barsha, Pachot Mishlosha Psukim. An opinion we already saw, that you're not allowed to start in a new Parsha and read less than three Psukim. Now, Vimi Ita, Lamandam Ardoleg, Nidlog, Mandam Arposek, Nifsok. So, according to Rav, how come we don't say read 1, 2, 3, 3, 4, 5? In this parsha five psukim, and according to Shmuel, why didn't you say 1, 2, 3a and then 3b, 4, 5? So the answer is Shani Hatam Dev Shavahachi, because here there's a solution. You've got another parsha to read. You have much more text to read. So yalla, go further. If you read three, then go read two and another three. But in our case, you're limited. You're boxed in by this reading, and therefore we have to manipulate it. And therefore either we do doleg or posek. And Amar Betanchum Amar Shimon Levi Alacha Ki Yeshomrim. Malachaz ki yeshomrim, that you cannot start a parsha and read less than three psukim. Ratanachom am b'shum am levi, k'shem shem achlim parasha pachot mishloshah psukim, kach en mishem parasha pachot mishloshah psukim. So b'shum am levi said that just like malachaz ki yeshomrim, that we do not pick up, go into a parsha and go less than three psukim in, similarly we don't stop a parsha with less than three psukim to go. Which means, by the way, the previous case couldn't have happened, because when the guy read three, he shouldn't have stopped there because there were only two psukim left. But okay, we'll talk about a case where he did stop, and shouldn't have stopped, but he did stop. So pshita, if we don't allow you to start a parsha and read less than three psukim, obviously you're not allowed to leave less than three psukim over. Hashtamat chalta, when it comes to starting the reading. To come make el Tanakama, the Tanakama says you can go only one pasuk in if you want. Machmir Yeshomim, the Yeshomim or Machmir and say, no, you have to go three in. She or de Machmir Tanakama, when it comes to, leaving it over where the Tanakama is Machmir, and he says you should read all five at once. Well, Koshkin and Machmir Yeshomim, certainly the Yeshomim Machmir. Now, Ma'u de Tema, Nichnasin Shchichi, Yotzin lo Shchichi. After all, Nichnasin, somebody coming in late, that's gonna happen. And therefore, somebody might come in late and is going to hear that you are starting at Pasuk Bet, and they're going to get the wrong idea, so therefore you should go at least three Pasukim in. But somebody to leave the Manchi Sefer Torah Venafki, to leave a Sefer Torah and walk out in the middle, that's highly unlikely. That I might think. And therefore I might think that you don't have to worry about where you stop if there's less than 50 Sukkim to go, because they're going to be there for the next Aliyah. Kamash Malan that we are Machir. Good. So the Tanakama's position though is kind of strange. Why does he say that you can start into a parsha and read only one pasuk or two pasukim, but you can't leave over less than three? After all, the reason you can't leave over is because people might leave. And here it's more likely people are going to come in late, and therefore you certainly should not be able to allow to start into a parsha and only go one pasukim. So Amri Manda Ayel Shu'uli Shayel. He says as follows. This is his reasoning. If somebody walks in late and he hears they started Pasuk Bet, he's going to say, what happened? He'll ask, and then he'll be told they're reading from a previous parsha. Shalach le'rava breid rava l'rav Yosef yochata ma'wetz ha'alacha, shalach le'yochata doleg v'emtza'i dolgan. Halacha is like Rav, the doleg, which means we overlap. And according to this reading, the middle guy does the overlapping. All right? Which means that, and that's exactly what we do, the second fellow does the dilug. We read Pasuk 1, 2, 3, and then we read 3, 4, 5, and then we read 6, 7, 8, and 9, and 10, which is the next parsha, and then Rosh Chodesh is a separate fourth aliyah. Good. Zeachal, kol sheyesh bo musaf, etc. Good. Kol sheyesh bo musaf, ibayalu. The question was asked, Tanit Sibur Bechama. How many aliyot do we have on a Tanit Sibur? Now, if you recall from Masechet Tanit on Tisha B'Av, we had a discussion about Kriyat HaTorah, about whether you have three aliyot, or if it's not a Monday, Thursday, do you only have one aliyah? Good. Tanit Rochama. Rosh Chodesh Moed Di'ika Kor Musaf Arba. After all, the Mishnah got through saying that the Tanit, that Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, because they have a Korban Musaf, so they have four. Well, Achal Leika Korban Musaf, there's no Korban Musaf on a Tanit Sibur. Lo, maybe it only has three. But this also has additional stuff. That's the ne'ilah and the extra six brachot. There's lots of extra davening that goes on. So maybe the intent of the Mishnah is any day that has extra stuff going on has four, a fourth aliyah. Toshma, so let's see if we can solve it for our Mishnah. Our Mishnah specifically said, Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed have four. So Hanatani Tzibur Shlosha. So anything that is less than that, like a Tani Tzibur, has three. I'm a Reisha. Look at the first part of the Mishnah. Shein v'chamish v'min Shabbos Mincha koin shlosha. It listed explicitly Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos Mincha is three. Didn't list the Tanit Tzibur. How Tanit Tzibur I bought. Ela miha leka l'mishra minah. Here you have the excluded middle. Tanit Tzibur is more intense than Monday, Thursday. It's less intense than Rosh Chodesh Chol HaMoed. And therefore you cannot infer in either direction. So Toshma, we have a story that's going to help us. The Rav equal to Bavel. Rav came to Bavel, the Tanit Tzibur. He walked in on the Tanit Tzibur. It's interesting, of course, because we said that Bavel ain't Tanit Tzibur chutz mitisha b'av. Alright? Come carve a sefer. He got up to read in the Sefer Torah. Patach barich. He opened up the Sefer Torah and said a bracha. We have to wonder how that happened. Chatim velo barich. He finished reading it, didn't say a bracha afterwards. Nafal kuli alman payu. And then everyone said tachnu. Now, for Rav lo nafal alape. And Rav didn't, and we'll see why later. Not today. Mechti Rabbi Yisrael Kara. Now let's look at this story. Rabbi was Yisrael, that we know. And therefore he should have read the third Aliyah. My time achatam v'lo barich. Why is it that he didn't say a brach at the end? So la mishum debar the mikra achrina batre. Isn't it because you have another Aliyah afterwards? And remember, we don't add Aliyot on such days. More than the minimum, which means the minimum on Atani should be four. He read Shlishi, and another guy came up, and that's why he didn't say the brach afterwards. But that doesn't work. Lo, Rav Bakani Kara. Rav read the first Aliyah. You're going to ask, how could Rav had the first Aliyah if Rav was not a Kohen? So the answer is, and that's why you have to take a look at the Rambam on page 16 of the first page of the handout, the Rambam in the Perashah Mishnayot has a long diatribe against the common custom of giving any Kohen the first Aliyah, regardless of his stature, regardless of who else might be in Shul. And the Rambam says it's very clear from the Sugyan Horayot and the Sugyan Gittin that a Kohen is only a sort of a tiebreaker in case you have people of equal stature who are the greatest people in the congregation in their learning and in their righteousness, etc., their piety. So then you give the first Aliyah to a Kohen. But otherwise, the first Aliyah should go to the Talmid Chacham. And the best proof is from this story. The Rambam, in his commentary on the Mishnah Gittin, if you take a look at it, quotes our story. So Rav really used to get the first Aliyah, which is, explains, by the way, why he said an opening bracha but not a closing bracha, because this is like the din of the Mishnah. Now, Doha Ravuna Kari Bakahani. Now, after all, we have Ravuna, who was a student of Rav, and Ravuna also got the first Aliyah, even though he wasn't a Kohen. So wait a second, that doesn't work, because Bishlam Ravuna Kari Bakahani, I understand why Ravuna read that first Aliyah. The greatest Kohanim in Eretz Yisrael, Rami and Ravasi, they found themselves subjugated to Ravuna. They thought Ravuna was greater than them. Elo Rav, Haika Shmuel. Shmuel was a famous colleague of Rav's in Bavel. He was the colleague, and he was a Kohen. The Kohana Havi, Udvar Alei. So the answer is Shmuel, Nami Mechaf Hayavi Kaifa Rav. The answer is Shmuel also saw himself as less than Rav. It was Rav who made sure that Shmuel would get the first Aliyah if Rav was there. And it's Rav, Shmuel really honored Rav more. But Rav made sure that Shmuel got the first Aliyah because he honored Shmuel. When did he have such kavod? When Shmuel was around. But if Shmuel wasn't there, he would take the first Aliyah, and it was appropriate. And therefore Rav got the first Aliyah, and therefore we haven't proven anything about that there's three or four Aliyot on a Tanit Tzibur, because certainly he'd be followed by a second guy, maybe a lady, not a lady. Hachinam Mistabra, the Rav Kohani Quran. If you look at the story, it makes sense that Rav read Kohani, the Kohen. He's talking about the Yisrael Quran. If you think he read the Yisrael, the Fanamai Tamar Mavarech. So why did he say a bracha beforehand? If he's reading the third Aliyah, the first guy already made the opening bracha. Le'achar Takana. The answer is this was after the Takana of the Gemara, to make the bracha before and after each Aliyah. So, if there's after the Takana, so why didn't they make the bracha? Why didn't Rav make the bracha afterwards? The answer is Shaniyach of Yativ Rav, the male Aili, Mepaklonavki. The answer is, and this is a very interesting notion, that the way they made the ordinance was, in any place in which people come in late, everybody has to make the opening bracha. But if people never leave until the end of Kriyas HaTorah, you don't have to make the closing bracha except for the last fellow. And they said in Rav's place, nobody would walk out once they got there. And therefore, Rav didn't make the closing bracha. That, of course, is just a defense. We're not claiming that that's the case. So we haven't yet solved whether or not you read three or four on a tiny tzibur, but it looks like three. Toshma, Zeaklal, Kol Sheyesh Bo Bitul Melacha La'am. We have a different reading than our Mishnah, which is any day which involves a loss of work for the people, meaning the longer davening goes, the less time they have to work. Gon Tani Tzibur Tisha B'Av. Interesting, Tisha B'Av is seen as that. Korin Shlosha, we have three aliyot. We don't add an extra aliyah because we don't want to take away from people's time at work. She'ein bo bitul melacha la'am, but any day that people are in any case not working, this goes to this orients itself to the custom and the times of the Gemara to really minimize the work you did on Rosh Chodesh. And of course, Chol HaMoed, which we'll get to in a couple of weeks when we study Moed Katan, there's a minimal amount of melacha that's permitted. Korin arba'a, shema mina. So you have an explicit statement that says on a tani tzibur, you read three. Amar Ravashi, Vahana Motanan Hachi, but Ravashi says we don't have that. Zaklal called Yom Shishpo Musaf, Eino Yom Tov, Korin Arba. We had a rule, and the rule said, we said Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, you read four, and then we had a rule. The rule was, any day that's Musaf and not a Yontif, you have four. So Latuye Mai, Lava Latuye Tani Tzibur and Tisha B'Av, isn't it there to add in Tani Tzibur and Tisha B'Av, that it has some extra prayers, and it's not a Yontif? So according to Rashi, then who's the author of the Mishnah? Remember in Tanit, we had the Machloker of Yossi and Rabbanan about how many to read on Tisha B'Av, and nobody says four. The only question is three or one. Lo Tanakam Lo Yossi, the Tanya, Chaliyot B'Sheni V'Chamishi, if Tisha B'Av is on Monday or Thursday, Korin Shlosha U'Maftir Achad. We have three Aliyot and one Maftir. Ashlisha V'i Kore Achad U'Maftir Achad. We have to assume also that Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, then you have one Aliyah and one Maftir. Biosi Omer Liolam Korin Shloshal Maftir Achad. Biosi says it's always three. Right? So now, Velakash is Zeaklal. So if that's the case, then why does it say Zeaklal? What's that rule coming to add? So lo, Latuye Rosh Chodesh Moed. It's there just to include the things listed on the list, which is Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh. So Haba Hedik Tani La, that's already listed explicitly. Rosh Chodesh Moed Korin Arba. It says Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, you read four. The answer is Simana Ba'alma Yahiv, that the rule is not coming to add any other days. It's coming to tell you what the rule is, which is, don't think that Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed are the same because they both have Musaf. because Chol HaMoed is not called the Yontif. Here's the rule. And the rule is as follows, and this goes back to our Mishnah. Called the Tafilei Milta Michavrei, anything that's more intense than the other, Tafilei Gavri Yeterah, gets one more Aliyah. Hilkach, therefore, Shchodesh and Moed, Ikakar Musaf, Shchodesh and Chol HaMoed, which are one step greater than Monday, Thursday, or a Tanit Zibor, because there's Karb Musaf, Korin Arba, you have four. The Yom Tov, the Asur Masiyat Malacha, Yom Tov as an Isur Malacha, Chamisha, there's five. Yom Kippur, the Enosh Karit, Yom Kippur, there's a liability of Karet. If somebody does Malacha, it gets six. Shabbat, Ika Isur Skila, Shabbat, which is a capital crime for violation, therefore is Shiva. So the easiest way to remember it is, the more intense level of Kedusha to a particular day, the more Aliyot it will have. Everyone should have a wonderful day. Amir Tashem, tomorrow we will continue in our study of the third parak and complete to the Mishnah on Chaf Dalid Amud Aleph.